You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up. My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Hulk Hogan, we got it for you.
I got two coffees and a water.
You got two coffees and a water.
That's good.
You're ready for the show for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast, your webcast and podcast for wrestling fans by wrestling fans. Greetings. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. All those great days of the holidays. My name is Aljon Gope, broadcaster, podcaster, and celebrating this festive season. Doing a little shopping on WWEshop.com, and alongside my co-host, the wrestling smart Mark, Dr. Death Mark, the wrestling historian, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
I'm in a great mood now because although I hate Raw, they have dumped, you know, hours. So many hours of content I've been waiting for them to dump on the network. So I can't wait to talk about that. I'm literally happy for once with their decision making, which has nothing to do with them really. It's other shows I'm watching, but that being said, the network has pleased me over the last week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And pleased me even more than the incredible heel group, the League of Nations.
Well, that's easy to do if you try, as John Lennon would say. We are celebrating the holidays here. Before we get into all the wrestling news and our preview of WWE's TLC, let's first talk about how you can be merry, jolly, spreading holiday cheer by supporting our website. ProWrestlingCast.com is an affiliate of the WWE Shop as well as WWE Network. You can start your free month of the WWE Network. And if you're listening to this show, why aren't you a subscriber if you aren't already? Go ahead and get your free month right now by subscribing and clicking on our WWE Network link on ProWrestlingCast.com. Also, there are deals galore going to WWE Shop, and a great way for you to support our site is by clicking our link to the WWE Shop. Now, every time you do that, WWE kicks back a little bit of love to our show, and every day they've got deals and deals galore. Right now, as we are recording this, you can save on $15 tees. Typically, WWE Shop shirts are about $24.99, just about the same price you would find in an arena. But for today only, they are going to be $15. New deals every single day. And once again, you can get those deals by supporting our site at ProWrestlingCast.com. Another thing you can do, oh, and by the way, there are great shirts there by New Day. And if you want the unicorn shirt or shirts by Blue Pants, you could do that. Can you believe it? The Blue Pants shirt is only $15.
They sold out of unicorn horns the other night at Raw, even though the show was awful. So the unicorn horns, you better get them before they're gone, folks.
Yeah. I get your Suplex City shirts while they last, folks. Yeah. Those shirts are on there. And one of my favorite new shirts they came out with, the classy Freddie Blassie shirt for all you pencil neck geeks. That
you got me all double twisted up inside.
Yeah, that is there. Or if you want, there's also an Unstable Dean Ambrose beer mug for $15 as well. Funny, I haven't seen
that.
Yeah, Dean Ambrose, you know, I haven't seen
I love Ambrose. He's one of the last bastions of hope.
Yes, he is. He is. Help us, Dean Ambrose. You're our only hope. So we have that going on for us. The other thing you can do, of course, is shop at Amazon. Everybody loves Amazon. I shop at Amazon all the time. And if you are an Amazon shopper and you like this podcast, you like what we do every single week, do us a solid and go to our website and click on our Amazon link. And by the, doing that, once again, Amazon sends us love to help our show going up on the internet every single week for free. It's very simple. It's very easy. Just bookmark ProWrestlingCast.com. And when you get the urge to shop and take advantage of all these great holiday shopping deals at Amazon, just click it, because it doesn't cost you any extra. It just simply kicks back a little bit to our show. And last but not least, I do want to mention this. High Spots is fun times for everybody. We talk about shoot videos all the time, and High Spots is celebrating their holiday deals right now. A lot of new arrivals, pre-orders on some great videos. In fact, right now, if you want, you can pre-order today the Young Bucks 5-star box set. Yes, you too can get a double DVD set of the Young Bucks, one of the most controversial teams in pro wrestling today. You'll be getting all kinds of great matches from 2009, including a really cool match. One of my favorites, Death to All But Metal World Tag Team Championship No DQ match with the Super Smash Brothers and the Young Bucks. That is also on there. You want to see something cool? How about the Young Bucks and Adam Cole versus AR Fox, Candice LeRae, and Rich Swann? That is in there as well. So, and, of course, Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae, along with the Young Bucks in there as well for the Guerrilla Warfare match. There's so many great matches. If you dig the hot millennial stars, the Young Bucks, check them out and pre-order that through our link at High Spots there. And also, Not Another Steam DVD. You can also check that out today. Pre-order today if you like Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen. You get to see some of the very early matches from this incredible superstar, one of my all-time favorites in terms of independent wrestling. Steen versus Pac is in there. 2009's Battle of Los Angeles World Tag Team, Steen versus El Generico, aka Sami Zayn, versus Young Bucks. That's in there. That is an excellent match. Really good stuff. Steen versus Adam Cole, how can that be bad? That's always good. So, yes, a couple of really cool double DVD sets just in time for the holidays. Pre-order that right now at High Spots using our link at ProWrestlingCast.com. Wow! That was a lot of plugs.
A lot of plugs. And, Steen, you jobbed a Kobashi in Ring of Honor. I saw it.
That's not a bad thing. You know?
There well, is you could get hurt, so...
Yeah. Just go ahead and call it a day. You worked hard, son. Go back and relax.
This week in wrestling news.
And this week we have WWE news, Raw ratings as always. But let's first kick off the show with news. And typically I don't do a whole lot of talking, but I will talk about this. We have local wrestling news. Our good buddy Paul Adams from formerly of Southern All-Star Wrestling / Showtime All-Star Wrestling is promoting a new show at the Richland Gym here in Portland, Tennessee. This happens at Portland, 8 p.m. December 11th at the Richland Park Gymnasium. Grumpy Bail Bonds Operation Christmas for Kids, benefiting the Hype Mentoring, will feature wrestling stars from the past and some of the highest and brightest stars in the business today. Okay, so also appearing on the bill, you've got Crimson, who's going to be there, which is...
Still undefeated, I bet, too.
Still undefeated. Yeah, which will be great. So Crimson will be there from Impact Wrestling. Derek King from the WGN series Wrestling with Death. Have you ever seen the show Wrestling with Death on WGN?
No, I've never seen that.
It's basically about a family in... West Tennessee, or is it West Tennessee or somewhere maybe close to Arkansas? Okay. And they're a family of undertakers, mortuary folks. Mm-hmm. And they actually have their own family wrestling business promotion locally. Mm-hmm. And Derek King is married, I think, to one of the promoter's daughters. And
really?
They go around and they do independent wrestling shows. And it's a really interesting look at independent wrestling with this family. It's pretty cool.
Is Rex King on the card? Because I like him a lot.
No, it's just Derek.
Okay. Well, just that's Derek. Okay. That's still awesome.
However, talk about a king of a different sort, actually more of a superstar. How about superstar Bill Dundee?
I've heard of him.
Yeah, superstar Bill Dundee, great legendary wrestler, especially in the Mid-South territory, known for his feuds with the King, Jerry Lawler. He'll be appearing at the show as well. So Bill Dundee will be there.
He's not wrestling on the show, right?
No. Oh, okay. I think he's just going to be there making an appearance, maybe signing autographs, I would hope. Well, I tell you, if you were able to get an autograph from superstar Bill Dundee, consider yourself lucky because he's one of the all-time greats. Also on there, one of the all-time greats, Ricky Morton, one of our favorites from the Rock and Roll Express will be there. Ricky Morton, feel free to tell him Pro Wrestling Cast says this is for you and present him with a bucket of chicken because he will absolutely love it.
Or a bucket of rats. I am so sorry.
Oh, wow. Okay. So,
but he'll take it.
He'll take it.
Yeah, he'll
take it. And his legendary hair will take it too.
And his legendary abilities.
Yes, and legendary.
At wrestling.
It sounds like a great card. But of course, Dundee being the superstar, being there, he should be in the Hall of Fame at some point. That would be great.
Yeah.
But helping young people excel, the Hype is a nonprofit foundation. Founded by former Portland Panthers football standout Josh Jones. And they're there to help young people excel in all aspects of life, providing opportunities for leadership, inspiration, fitness, and educational excellence. So congratulations to them. I encourage everyone to go over there. You can purchase tickets, $12 in advance for ringside and $8 for general admission. And they're available at Charlie Adams State Farm in Portland and the Portland Chamber of Commerce. And sponsors of the event are Charlie Adams State Farm, Gallatin News Examiner, Gilbert Funeral Home, Al's Auto Mart, Senior Fajitas, Summer Employment, the Portland Leader, Volunteer State Bank, and Grumpy's Bail Bonds.
Grumpy is something else. Grumpy to me is sort of a local, kind of legend. She's really
Leah Houlihan has been a promoter of professional wrestling in the Mid-South and in Nashville in particular for many, many years. And I think she's a fun person and she really appreciates the talent of professional wrestling and the wrestling fans. So,
and she puts on a lot of shows locally and a lot of people, that's hard to put on a show and get the money behind it and be a wrestler to have the money to do it. And then to be a fan too. And she's been doing that for a long time. Her her commercials for Grumpy's Bail Bonds, which play during Saw a lot, are hilarious. Basically calling out criminals that she's going to be arresting soon.
putting people like the Naturals behind bars.
Literally putting up pictures of folks. She's like, I don't understand why you didn't show up for your court date. I guess that means that you're going to be. And it's like, oh, my goodness, this is a great, funny lady. Pretty tough cookie, too.
So. Yeah, so
big fan of Grumpy's.
Yes, and there you go. There's your plug, guys, and we do appreciate it. Hopefully, we'll have Paul Adams on the show to talk about wrestling. One of my favorite things, wrestling managers, and probably the best wrestling managers of all time. And who more qualified than Paul Adams, one of the great managers of local wrestling here in town. Absolutely. So, moving on, big WWE news. We could start off talking about the ratings and Raw. Let's first talk about something fun.
Okay.
And talk about the WWE Network dump because there are tons of great videos there. You know, I'm scrolling through the network this past week and I'm looking, do they have a new Table of Three? Do they have a new Unfiltered? Do they have, a brand new Legends with JBL? No. I scroll and I find this and I said, Mid-South?
Yep.
AWA?
Right.
Stampede Wrestling, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I'm like, I texted you and I said, hey, by the way, they got Smoky Mountain on there. And I was watching the Chris Jericho promo. I was watching, I always start from the very earliest one. So it's like whatever, 1994. I think it was the fact that Jericho and Storm, the Thrill Seekers, were getting jumped in the parking lot by Jim Cornette and the, I'm trying to remember what tag
well
team.
Done. Was Cornette. It Well Done or was it the Heavenly Bodies?
It was Heavenly Bodies. Yes, it was Heavenly Bodies. So I thought that was hilarious because, I mean, once again, just trying to recapture the whole Four Horsemen thing, being jumped in the parking lot, which was great. Yeah. But the promo to follow from Jericho and Storm was absolutely hilarious because, they're so green in the business at the time, just coming back from Japan. And I texted you immediately and said, you'll never believe what's on the network. And I've been watching I've been watching matches just sitting in the office, just running them in the background, you know, and watching classic matches from Mid-South. I've been in the Mid-South and Smoky Mountain right now. I did watch a couple of Stampede, but you tell me now Stampede's not available. What the hell?
Bret Hart owns his likeness in Stampede, so he just gave Vince a call and said, hey, why is that up? You can't put that up without, you know, conferring with me and making a contract. And Vince said, well, let me sort it all out. And Bret's like, well, I don't want to have to sue you. And Vince is thinking, geez, here we go again with Bret. So he just pulled them all Monday morning. So they're all down. They were up over the, you know, they were up for a few. I watched some of them.
So did I.
I watched a ladder match from 1979. It was Jake Roberts against Sylvester Ritter, who was the Junkyard Dog. And he was actually the heel. And he ended up winning the match. He climbed a very rickety-ass wooden ladder and, you know, grabbed, like, I think it was a check. But that, you want to talk about an old ladder match. This is, you know, 15 years before the first ladder match in WWF between Razor and Michaels, which is still the definitive one to me. Mm-hmm. And, man, I was just, you know, like, oh, this is going to be fun, and I'm going to watch Dynamite Kid. And yeah, they pulled him down. Mm. I couldn't be any happier about the network dump. All, you know, they have USWA on there. It's under GFW. So you can see they basically seem to put that up to show a lot. First of all, this is the best thing that could ever happen to me because these are the shows. This is why we got the network. And I like watching In Your House 3 and Clash of the Champions 4 like I did the other night. But putting these shows up, you know, because my favorite shows, I said it in the very first 5 fucking seconds that I was talking on this, our very first podcast, is NWA and Mid-South. And that's mostly what they dump. They only have about 10 Mid-South shows up, ranging from, you know, there's one really good show in 82 all the way to 86 or maybe even 87, which is when they turned into UWF and folded with Dr. Death, the guy I'm a mark for, on top. But NWA has a steady stream from 85 all the way to 87. So you can watch almost 2 years straight. I would start there because I think people are very familiar with Dusty Rhodes and his great promos. He just passed away. And then, of course, Ric Flair. So they're all over those shows. You're going to see Tully Blanchard. And if you watch, and you know, if you haven't seen these and you're watching them and you're a big fan of wrestling, you'll see that Tully Blanchard is one of the greatest heels of all time. His promos, his wrestling, everything he does, he's a legitimate heel. He looks like a heel. He acts like one. Everything makes sense. And then another guy you'll see on there is Magnum T.A., who he actually feuded with off and on, too. Magnum T.A., one of the great baby faces. You also notice that all of there's so many good guys in this show. Boogie Woogie Man Jimmy Valiant, who's crazy, who's fucking just fucking crazy. And, I don't know how else to describe him. Ronnie Garvin beating the shit out of jobbers. I mean, just beating the shit out of jobbers. And Rock and Roll Express and Midnights. And David Crockett's wacky ass announcing. And actually, Tony Schiavone when he was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You know, people put down Schiavone for 1998, 1999, and 2000 WCW.
No.
Been there forever. You know, there's shit from him in 84, 85, you know, and he has to work with David Crockett, which is
tough. I agree. It's good stuff. You definitely need to check it out. A great place to start. Like you said, I mean, first of all, if you're new to classic wrestling, pick a promotion that you like and start at the very beginning. And just keep on, you know, watching until, you know, and just keep on watching. See what holds your interest and just keep on watching. And if you don't like it, you can always move to the next the next episode or move to another promotion. But I think it's really cool to see the development of what is the current product today. For good, bad, or indifferent, you know, it all started somewhere. And this is some of the examples of some of the earliest stuff that was put on broadcast or cable television, and production values at the time were very high. Right now they're kind of laughable as we look back on it, but back in the day, that was wrestling on TV. That's the wrestling that Stephen and I grew up watching, and it's fun to watch. I mean, I find myself looking at some of the Mid-South wrestling, looking at people like Junkyard Dog and, you know, Hercules Hernandez back in the day, and I'm just going, wow, this is just really cool. Or even, you know, they're just, the list goes on and on. There's so many people that you could watch and just have fun. But just find, you know, if you're new to it, look to pick a promotion and go all the way back and then start from the beginning. But I think you're right. I mean, you look at, you know, promotions like Mid-South or AWA, there are a lot of superstars there that people know that they might be familiar with, that they could say, oh, okay, well, this is early stuff, you know, that features superstars that I kind of know, you know, from this modern era.
Steve Austin's on there in USWA. Shawn Michaels, a lot of early stuff in AWA and actually Mid-South. He has a match in, I think, 85 with Ted DiBiase wearing the black glove.
Yes.
And, I mean, he beats Michaels in 4 minutes with a power slam, but still he gives him a couple of near falls. And I got to tell you, the two of the best episodes of wrestling are in Mid-South. Now, looking at it, I'm split. What's the best TV show ever? I think the NWA show, the Crockett show from 85 to 87 is maybe, it has the best roster and its angles are awesome too. And its jobber squashes are great. And even if you get bored, David Crockett's funny, but for what he had, Bill Watts's Mid-South show, which, you know, he didn't have, he had the Midnight Express and Junkyard Dog and guys too, but I mean, the NWA roster was just so jam packed that you could just really just put matches out there and kind of make it work. But for the way he put together his show, Bill Watts, the Mid-South shows are unbelievable. I would say to everyone, and I'll give away a spoiler here, I don't really give a shit. There's a show in 1984, and I forget the exact date, but you can, what it'll say, Jim Cornette, you know, Bill Watts has to find help to fight Jim Cornette in the Midnight Express. It involves almost everyone. Here's let me lay it out for you. Mm-hmm. Jim Cornette, it's his birthday, so he gets his mom, and Jim Cornette looks like a child. He gets his mom,
baby face,
his mom to buy TV time to have a birthday party on Mid-South. So he's wearing hats with the Midnight Express. They have a nice cake. They have confetti. They're blowing steam, and they're having a good time jumping up and down like girls, right?
Yes, yes.
So he's celebrating. My mama paid for this. It's so great. No, you can't have any of the cake. Jim Ross. Jim Ross is the announcer. They, Midnight Express, go around the corner to look at the fans on the other side of the ring and antagonize them. The Rock and Roll Express runs out, puts his face in the cake, and he's hamming it up, and it's hilarious. Crowds, you know, Jim Ross is laughing. Everybody thinks it's funny. Okay? Next skit, Cornette comes out, and he says, I'm fucking suing you. I'm fucking suing Jim Ross. I'm suing every one of the fans that are in here. You know, I paid for that time. So Watts, Bill Watts, comes out, and he says, hey, I'm the one that told him to replay the clip. I'm the one that you know, that owns this promotion and books it. He said, so if you want to sue somebody, sue me. And he keeps getting antagonized by Cornette. And Watts twice warns him, you better calm the fuck down or I'm gonna slap the shit out of you. He won't stop, so he slaps the shit out of him. Next week, Watts comes out. And now they make it very realistic. Watts is cutting a promo with a guy, but the camera shot's from the back. So you see Watts talking to the guy and you see the camera. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And Cornette's talk antagonizes from here. And Watts says, hey, I'm trying to record a promo with this guy. So you see what I mean? It's the small things. It looks real. Like, it looks like he's really interrupting a promo because it's from the camera shot. The Midnights jump him. Watts cuts a jig. Oh, shit. Now they've jumped Watts. So Watts comes out and he says, I need to fight the Midnight Express, but I don't know what to do. So now Watts goes to the woods in North Carolina. So now Bill Watts is in the woods and he sees Junkyard Dog, who's been suspended for 90 days. And he's fishing and listening to rap music on a jam box in North Carolina, in the woods, by a stream. And Watts says, hey man, I need you to help me out. The Midnight Express jumped me. We need to kick their ass. And JYD's like, I can't do nothing about it. You know, I got to hold up my, I've been suspended for 90 days. He's like, well, I own Mid-South. I'm going to let you come back. He's like, no, my word's my word. And he goes, okay. And he starts walking away. And then Junkyard Dog says, hey, you know what? There's a guy that lives real close to me. He used to take my lunch money when I was a kid. His name is Stagger Lee. So he's like, okay. He said, like, why don't you see if he'll be your partner? He walks out there. So now they say, Jim Ross, you can't know where Stagger Lee lives. So he has to wear a blindfold. So they showed Jim Ross in a field walking blind with a blindfold on. And then it's Junkyard Dog, clearly dressed up in a mask, and he's Stagger Lee, and he's very mean and angry. But he says, yeah, I'll come and help out. And this setup, Bill, that was a long story. That was the first 10 minutes of the show.
I know, right?
So it's Bill Watts and Stagger Lee, which is Junkyard Dog, against the Midnight Express. They go all over Louisiana and Oklahoma, and they do huge fucking business in 1984. It really made everybody. Jim Cornette, the Midnight, Stagger Lee, Junkyard Dog, Bill Watts, Rock and Roll Express, Jim Ross, everybody's involved. 23,000, I think they sold out at the Superdome. And one more thing, to get Stagger Lee over, they showed a clip from 2 years before. Here's my boy Ted DiBiase wearing the black glove of injustice, right?
There you go.
And he's got a match against the skinniest jobber you could find. And the jobber's like, I'm not your opponent. And he's like, well, who is it? And he undoes a thing, and it says, it's Stagger Lee. And here comes Stagger Lee, which is Junkyard Dog. You want to know how to get over a baby face that's new, basically?
Mm-hmm.
He pins the champion in 10 seconds in that's a non-title right. match.
That's right.
Over. Because the fans want to see Ted DiBiase get pinned quick. Now this new character, who they know is Junkyard Dog, is Stagger Lee, is completely over. That's how you get everybody over. That's how you make money. That's how people used to book. But now we have the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Or unextraordinary gentlemen?
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's a great segue, Stephen. So, yes, check out all the classic matches.
Well, you don't have to watch that one now. I said the whole thing. So.
Well, no. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And by the way, it's not a spoiler if it's 30 years old.
I don't want to spoil what happens next week on Mid-South 30. It's a 31-year-old episode. I swear to you, it's the best episode of wrestling I've ever watched.
I was going to say, it's not a spoiler if it's 30 years old. Okay, well, that's great. I like the network for that. So good times. But then you lead us to Raw. Discussion. You know, the thing that is crazy to me is you have now, if you can't find, okay, this is my initial reaction, may not necessarily be the truth. It may be somebody's truth, but not necessarily the truth, but not our truth, but like Ron Killings, but the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen of Nations. Okay.
Yes.
You have one who is the WWE champion who they feel may not be over, in my opinion, but you put them with three other superstars that create this faction or this group or stable of people that aren't quite as over, and you try to make them over by putting and shotgunning them into 27-man tag team matches every week on Raw.
Right.
It's like, what the hell? You know, I mean, well,
I think they're trying to build up for Survivor Series.
Oh, really? They just had to. I was going to say, this seems like a build-up for Survivor Series.
This would be the perfect build for Survivor Series in late October, early November.
Yeah, of 2016. Yeah. Might as well start early.
Yeah, then you can get over the new champ, Sheamus.
Yeah, it's very strange. Other strange booking ideas is overexposing some of your best talent, which is New Day. Way overexposed, in my opinion.
At least they're over.
They are over, but you know, you run the risk of overexposure at that point and say, you know what, I've had enough of unicorn magic.
Well, you know when someone won't be over, when a few of the hardcore, the really, you know, like when the one or two people that watch a lot of wrestling, know a lot of wrestling, start to say, gee, this is kind of boring me. When one or two of those people, it could be anybody, says that, then you know that it will follow suit with everyone else. And I think you're right. I think there's a couple of people out there that are saying they're overexposed. And I mean, what kind of heels are these? Aren't heels? These are faces. They have unicorn magic and they're funny. They're funny face baby faces. That's a mid-card act.
Yeah,
they're
not main eventers. Guess what, folks? Baby faces sell a lot of merch.
They do.
How about this? How about two women vying for the Divas champions that are both supposed to be heels? Because we had a quick heel turn on Becky Lynch done by Charlotte trying to emulate her 16-time world heavyweight champion dad, Woo Nation, Ric Flair. And then you have Paige that is antagonizing Becky Lynch, the steampunk princess, also antagonizing Charlotte by saying things. And then you have Ms. TV segment this past Monday on Raw, which is try it, it's really hard when both are, you're supposed to hate both, but then I'm starting to feel like, you know what, I think Paige was right all along. Does that make her a baby face? I'm confused.
I think Paige is supposed to be a baby. I think they were so freaked out by the negativeness they got from that dumb angle with Reed that they tried to just flip the whole script. And it didn't make sense, because if Paige is the baby face, then I don't understand what happened.
Well, you could have heel against heel, which is fine. Not necessarily the most effective. Not the most effective. So what do? They just basically screwed themselves. Way to go, WWE creative.
Oh, they're an abomination, the creative. I don't even know what the fuck's going on. I have the sense that they have a plan, and they just won't go against the plan. I have a feeling they want Sheamus against Reigns and for Reigns to win the babyface title at WrestleMania, and they will not stop that gear. And the funny thing is, Reigns will lose at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs and be weeping on the ground again. If they go that way.
Ugh.
They won't change their ways. He is so angry at his fan base for some reason. He won't. You know what? They've done this for years, though. Okay, let me just. Do you remember when Randy Orton debuted?
Yes.
He had long hair. It was a long time ago, right?
I don't know if he had long hair, but he had hair.
He did. He had longer hair. He had hair like kind of like my length almost.
Yeah.
Something like that. Not mine. It's not as pretty as mine, but.
Yes.
But it was.
Right.
And, you know, and they decided then and there that he was a main eventer. And if you really look at what got Randy Orton over, he beat everybody. And then he beat Foley clean.
Yes.
And then the crowd was like, okay, we relent. We'll cheer him now because we can at least trust in the fact that he'll always win. Mm-hmm. They forced Randy Orton to be a main eventer on the crowd. They forced John Cena to be the number one guy on the crowd by switching him to Raw. And then they took away his rapper gimmick, but he always won. They forced it on the crowd. And they don't understand that they can't force the crowd. The last 2 years especially has picked up on pushing back. Daniel Bryan, Royal Rumble thing is, you know, obviously the thing. The backlash against Batista, Rey Mysterio being booted the Royal Rumble, Roman Reigns being totally turned on even though The Rock's holding his hand up. The crowd has changed, and he can't force it like he did Randy Orton. Randy Orton was made to be the main eventer because that's what they wanted. He's a good-looking guy, he's tall, and he's a third-generation guy, just like Reigns. Mm-hmm. Or Reigns might even be fourth, I'm not even sure. But they just don't. They will not stop their course, even if the ratings go below 3 million, which they now have for certain, you know, hours. They will not reverse course. They will not stop. They will not stop.
You know what is telling for me is, yes, the crowd has changed, but A, the WWE made it that way. They made it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they say, tell us your opinions on social media. Tout it out. Tweet it out. Tell us what you think. Be interactive on the WWE app and vote for your favorite. You know, it was not a promoter simply saying, here's the card laid out. Here is the way we're going to do it. No. Interactivity, social media, promoted by the WWE, creates the fans that we have today. So there is that. And they doomed themselves. Now, how about this? Cookie cutter creative. That is a term I'm using for this, because you're building up Roman Reigns in the same way you're trying to build up or have tried to build up other faces, namely Daniel Bryan.
Right.
But here's the thing.
Same exact
Daniel
foil.
Bryan is not Roman Reigns. Daniel Bryan is not Roman Reigns. They are two different characters, but you're booking them in the exact same fashion. How is that going to work? Because we've seen this all over again, roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. You know, you have, you know, the temptation, you have this, that, and the other. You know, you have to find new ways of telling the same story, not the same story, plug and play characters. That's what you're doing. All right. Now, the other thing is, when is a WWE going to realize that they either work with kayfabe or not work with kayfabe? Because when you have the CEO and, you know, the CCO or CCO, whatever, Chief Creative Officer at Triple H, and then you have Stephanie McMahon, you know, head of creative, being villains on stage, and then you have them on stage again, whether it be NXT or another program, trying to be faces to promote something great. Guess what? It doesn't work. It does not work. We're there to suspend the disbelief to buy into characters, and you are out there ruining it. You are out there ruining it. Why does Triple H need to be there to introduce NXT and be a face? Why does Stephanie McMahon need to be out there talking about charitable things in the ring with WWE superstars when they could do those in vignettes that are pre-produced, highly pre-produced in a corporate environment?
And the Wyatts are selling Subway sandwiches now or something.
Yeah, why are you doing horrible product placement just to squeeze extra dollars because your ratings suck? You know, because everybody DVRs Raw. Because
let me tell you something. When they had Michael Cole, they had that dude out. What was that show they promoted for USA? I forget what the fucking show was.
The Donnie Deutsch show?
When Donnie Deutsch is on there and they're promoting his show for USA, that means USA's pissed about ratings. The last time I saw that happen was 97. And they would go, La Femme Nikita is going to come up right after. It's going to be a real good episode. You know, and now that when I saw that, I thought, bad news bears. Bad news. That means somebody's fucking pissed at USA. And they got 2 years to go on this contract. And they get more money every year. So,
well, they are heavily promoting the move to SmackDown. But those are just, I think, three, maybe four of my points. When will it stop? Because what is happening is, and we talk about this all the time, is that they're not creating formidable heels. They put together this heel faction because they think that, you know, 75 to 50% over heels make more over together than they do alone. Apparently, that's their math.
Right.
So, so let's put them all together and maybe they'll be stronger together than they are by themselves. But when is the authority going to stop being a pivot point to take heat away from building credible heels?
NBC Universal likes the authority, so they will always push the authority as long as that's the case. I heard that years ago.
Well, then they need to figure out what the freak to do with kayfabe.
Well, then make them baby faces.
Yep.
Because she wants to be seen as a charitable organization. You know, and just to be honest, and I might get some backlash for this, seeing Stephanie talk about Connor's award and talk about being friends with Connor and then crying about him dying, the way she cried on that thing, I just thought that was in poor taste by her. I just feel like she's using that young boy's death to get herself over.
Oh, no. Well, I don't know if I can agree with you.
I don't think she was really crying. I think it was work. I think she was very upset that boy died, but the way she put herself over, you know, when you do charitable stuff and you help people out, you don't need to put it on TV. And that's what they're doing with that. You know, the Warrior Award, go watch the Ultimate Warrior's Hall of Fame speech. You know what he said? He said, we should give an award to someone on the crew every year. That's what he was talking about. Yeah, they just spun it into their – okay, I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm not saying
you're right.
The little boy. I'm just saying, why use that to be a baby face in the real world, you know, and then exploit it?
Well, right. A lot of people have that criticism that it is exploitative and that she herself had tweeted out that the future of business, the future of entrepreneurship is to partner with nonprofits.
Entrepreneurship.
Okay? Now, I know this to be a fact because I have always made it a point to partner with nonprofits in order to do charitable work. I've done a lot of charitable work over the years. And I continue to do charitable work, but it's not because I want to put myself over. It's because I believe in the charity. Right. At what point is it in bad taste? Now, that's why she got a lot of criticism because of the way that it was framed. And was it a decision on behalf of the truck that was, Kevin Dunn in the truck that is calling the shots on what shots they need to use to put on TV, building the character? Or was it some other, you know, motif? I don't know. But and I understand that. And I totally, and some people believe with that. I don't necessarily agree with you, but I can see where that could be viewed as in poor taste. But my situation is that every move that they make, whether it is exposing superstars on the WWE network in having no kayfabe, okay, whether it's a Stone Cold podcast or Table for Three or shows that I like, or Breaking Ground, which I like those shows a lot, but I can suspend my disbelief, but I am not your average wrestling fan. So as they're attracting new wrestling fans to the network, they see these characters, they're confused. And then on their own show, to have people flip-flop back and forth, and their core audience that buys merchandise being kids, teenagers, young adults, what are you supposed to think? Either you are the character on TV or you're not. Case in point, they always say that WWE Raw or a wrestling show is a program. But how many times you see the wrestlers, outside of independent promotions, of course, that are out there talking about, Cialis, for example. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, that's the point I'm trying to make, is that you have to be consistent with how you portray your characters on TV on that particular episode, encapsulated in that 3-hour block or 2-hour block or 1-hour block. Be consistent in that. Be consistent in your own universe of how your persona is being perceived. Be consistent. That will help booking, and then creative needs to get off whatever they're doing and realize that putting characters and just simply plugging them into a predetermined formula does not work.
Right.
One size fits all does not work, because you have to establish your characters' personalities, the roles they play in their show, as I talk about all the time, because it is theater. You have mentors, you have the plucky sidekick, you've got comic relief, you've got the protagonist, you have the protagonist buddies, and then you have your heels, and then you have the really bad MF on the top. You know what I mean? I mean, that
is... who's the bad MF on the top? That's another
question. We don't know, because...
nobody.
Because you have the League of Nations.
Who is that?
the strangest thing that goes on, right, is you look at the Super Friends, okay? You look at the Justice League, you look at the Avengers. There may be one or two standout leaders. You look at the superhero groups. Okay, when we were watching Super Friends growing up, clearly the Super Friends were led by Superman. And then you have Batman and Wonder Woman. Everyone else just fell into place, right?
Well, I think Batman was pretty high up in the hierarchy.
Oh, of course, he's pretty high up. But who is the front of the Super Friends? It's always Superman. Superman is at the front. Everybody is a triangle. So he's at the top of the pyramid, Superman. Superman, Batman, Robin, and then Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and whoever jabroni they
Aquaman
have.
Aquaman was low.
Yeah, Aquaman is definitely low on the territory.
Yeah, but I feel like...
Look who leads the Legion of Doom.
Clear Lex top Luther. Baby face. Clear top.
Lex Luthor is at the top of the Legion of Doom. Then you have your other jabronis like the Joker and everyone else that follows, but it's always a top.
And who was the dude with the red eyes? That was another good one.
The red eyes, was that Mantis? Red Mantis or whatever.
I don't know. I think he was a new
Oh, Bizarro. Bizarro Superman. Bizarro Superman.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's okay. that sounds good.
Welcome to the Bizarro Superman podcast, everybody. but what I'm
trying to say, review Mid South Wrestling.
We review Mid South Wrestling. You know that Jim Cornette was Bizarro. No, but what I'm trying to say is that if you have to have clear roles, clear definition of who your characters are, who's your top person, who's your top antagonist, and they clearly have not. And booking this faction, who do you think is a leader? Well, right now Sheamus is supposed to be their clear leader.
Oh yeah, definitely.
He's just not over. I mean,
he's like Ric Flair.
Okay, I don't know. I think
yeah, he's like the Ric Flair of losers.
You gotta make sure these guys are gonna be thugs, and they really, you know what? If you're gonna regurgitate anything, why don't you go back to the Four Horsemen jumping Dusty Rhodes? Why don't you just go ahead and go out back next week on Raw and have the League of Nations jump Roman Reigns coming out of his whatever SUV that he's coming out of?
Well, I'll tell you why that wouldn't work. Because, well, first of all, the League of Nations is nothing like the Four Horsemen on an individual or synergy.
Of course.
Group way. And also, these guys have done – Wade Barrett has done countless jobs. Del Rio just did a clean job the other day, although I'm happy you left Zeb Coulter. Sheamus did a lot of jobbing to Orton. I think he jobbed to some other people, if I recall right. Didn't he job to Neville?
Mm.
You notice, by the way, real quick, that they're making fun of Neville's ears now?
Mm-hmm.
I used to say that and be really mean at the beginning. Now, when they do that, that's it. It is over for him. If I were him, I would return to being Pac and go right back to Dragon Gate, Ring of Honor, try to get into maybe Noah. I would leave if I were him.
Because where is this leading? You have Adam Rose. Adam, where is this leading? Adam Rose is going to feud with Neville. You know, Adam Rose is making fun of everybody, you know, and Adam Rose's gimmick, I really don't understand the whole trying to tie it doesn't make any sense to me.
I just hate The Miz. I just feel like that's not a wrestler. He's never seemed like a wrestler to me.
I like The Miz.
And for him, you know, they did it to Daniel Bryan, where they tried to hurt Daniel Bryan by putting him in the subservient role to Miz, and now they're doing it to Neville. So you talk about regurgitating ideas, pushing Reigns like they did Bryan a year and a half ago. They're doing it with Neville.
Well, they make no bones about it because he mentions Daniel Bryan in his segment, which leads me to believe, are we going to be hearing any more of Daniel Bryan? Or how about this? How about the fact that Zeb Coulter actually mentioned John Cena in that backstage interview with, Alberto Del Rio? I mean, wow. You know, I think there wasn't this unwritten rule that while John Cena is gone, no one shall speak his name until he returns.
Well, he should be back in, let me look at the date. I would think he'd be back in about 3 Raws from now. So, you know, in Vince's mind, he's going to bring back Lesnar soon. He's bringing back Cena for every week soon. He'll have Taker for Mania season. I don't know if Orton or Rollins will be ready. And, you know, that in itself will help and bring things back because he's like, everybody's going to slowly come back and we'll slowly build the ratings back up. That's what he's thinking.
Mm.
And you're just going to have to deal with Sheamus.
Well,
who's the other guy in the League of Nations? It's not Kevin Owens, which is ridiculous. He should be in the League of Nations. Although I'm excited he's having an Ambrose feud. Like I wisely predicted weeks ago on our show.
Well, you have Sheamus and Rusev.
Rusev, of course, my friend from Nashville. I'm sorry, yeah. Franklin.
Yes. Well, funny because they bring Lana back. They're making out, which, by the way, I don't want to see that. I mean, to be quite honest, I like Lana, but I can't like Lana if they're always making out.
No.
Not only that, but she has got to take some kind of lessons from Sherry Martel, something.
There's nothing like Sherry Martel in her.
Oh, I know, but she needs to because, you know, anytime you go to ringside, the whole broken ankle thing is just, it's starting to wear thin on me. I'm just saying.
Sherry Martel went to Ron Fuller in Tennessee and said, I want to be a wrestler. He went to his booking office. Ron Fuller slapped Sherry Martel as hard as he could, open hand in the face.
Mm-hmm.
She said, is that all you got? And then she became a wrestler. So to compare Lana to Sherry, that she'll never be that because she's like a trained ballerina.
She could be a trained badass,
which is a very physical thing to do, by the way.
She's probably tougher than most people think, but I don't necessarily believe that she was like Sherry Martel and decided to get her ass kicked and handed to her to break into the business. You know, it's a different world we live in today, but I would actually like to see her wrestle. We'll see what happens. But
She never wanted to. She told them, I don't want to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to honor that because they used to do that with the fucking Nitro girls, and that turned into some of the most perplexing negative star TV matches I've ever seen.
Exactly. Funny other segments of note.
I don't know any. Tommy Dreamer against Braun Strowman.
Tommy Dreamer and since the last time we came back, Tommy Dreamer and Rhino have joined the faction, the group of what they are now calling ECW Originals. They return to that again.
They should have an ECW original show, and they should do another ECW. Oh, wait, they did that 11 years ago.
Well, for me, I think this is just another way of quote unquote doing extreme things. I mean, what do they have another extreme pay-per-view that's going to be coming up in 2016? I don't know. But Tables, Ladders, and Chairs seems to me like a way. Let's bring back ECW originals in order to help, you know, put over the Wyatts, but also maintain a little bit of edginess and get some of the fringe ECW people to come back and watch the show just for, you know, just to relive some of the old times, you know?
Yeah, I think extreme wrestling is dead. You know, I really think it's dead. I think people know what it is. And I think it's really dead. And I think Tommy Dreamer looks 100 years old. I think Tommy Dreamer is a great ambassador for ECW and WWE to some degree too, and hardcore and what it represents. And I have a lot of respect for him. And I saw Tommy Dreamer blade at a house show in Thibodaux, Louisiana. So he bladed in Thibodeau at a little dinky house show, an afternoon show. So I have a lot of respect for him. But you know, his House of Hardcore, I think, is what's important right now for the wrestling community. That's an interesting outlet, you know, keeping the Philly hardcore thing around. But, you know, WWE doing hardcore, I have no interest in that whatsoever. It doesn't come across good. If I may go back to that same episode, for example, of Mid-South, the very next skit after the Bill Watts Stagger Lee thing, Terry Taylor's in a ring to have a match with Hacksaw Butch Reed. And most people don't know anything about Butch Reed, but he was a badass dude.
Yes.
Terry Taylor was a really cute baby face back then, the girls like. Reed has a arm in a sling. He says, I can't wrestle. And he's like, what are you doing? Well, I can't wrestle, my arm's in a sling. All of a sudden, he takes it out to reveal a coal miner's glove.
Imagine that.
Another glove gimmick. He hits Taylor a couple of times with this big white coal miner's glove. You know how they sold it? Terry Taylor started foaming at the mouth. Now that got over. Okay, that's now, isn't that better than something extreme? You know, it looked like a big oven mitt, but he probably, from what I hear, they chew on Alka-Seltzers and the foam just comes out. Mm-hmm. He's foaming at the mouth. That looked pretty damn incredible.
I love it.
Yeah. Again, this is 24 minutes, all of that, into that one Mid-South show. Yes. This show was like 45 minutes long because they had commercials, by the way.
It is.
All
it
of
is.
That happened.
It's a lot of fun. They do cram a lot of stuff in that 30-minute, right. Hour-long show or whatever.
Yeah, and then here's the best part. At the very end, they go, we still have some time left because we don't know how long these matches are going to go. So here's a jobber match. And they just end it with a short jobber match. And then it just goes off the air because it's real. My point is, the extreme thing isn't over anymore. They need to take some chances and do things different. I understand bringing in Tommy Dreamer. You got Finn Balor and Samoa Joe sitting around. You got all these guys. You got Sami Zayn, who's coming back real soon. He's got a show. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you bring him back Tommy Dreamer. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, it's going to be interesting to see what that does. And I didn't mean to go into that long dissertation, by the way. I'm just a little frustrated. Like a lot of wrestling fans out there, as dictated by the ratings, which, by the way, we did mention the ratings, yes?
Yeah, well, we went down to 2.96 million. They keep dipping below 3 million in certain hours.
I have to wonder how DVR ratings factor in, because, you know, as far as the network goes, if you're not watching it live to see all the commercials, it doesn't count.
let me throw this out at you. Back in 1998, this is when Austin would have just lost the title and they were going to have a tournament, and then on Nitro you had Ric Flair coming back and Ultimate Warrior was doing this dumb feud with Hogan. Mm-hmm. They had a big football game on that night that did like a 15 rating, just like this past Monday.
Mm-hmm.
10 million people watched wrestling that night.
Mm-hmm.
10 million people. I'm talking the quarter hours that combined and stacked because two shows run at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a 70% plunge.
Yeah, it's huge.
Against competition.
Well, and that's when you had to really watch TV live or you know, the way people are consuming stuff now, I don't I'm always late watching Raw.
Right.
You know, because I'm working. So I watch Raw whenever I can. So I might be watching Raw the next day. I might be watching Raw an hour, hour and a half after it's initially aired.
Right.
You know, so I never watch Raw. It's not an appointment that I have to set because I have a DVR that does it for me. Why do I have to sit there and sit through 3 hours of Raw when I can fast forward through every commercial because I want to get on with my damn life? You know, so.
And let's say this too. I think that's a factor in the ratings. And I think the network is a much bigger factor than people get, because you can get by, you watch a pay-per-view once a month. You see all the angles on the pay-per-view, you see the pay-per-view. Okay. You can watch Clash of the Champions 4 one night. You can watch NXT on Wednesday night. Tommaso Ciampa against Samoa Joe was a fucking brilliant TV match, if you want to call it TV. You know, much better than anything on Raw. You can watch Table for 3 one night with Dean Ambrose chewing his food. You can watch In Your House 1 with Hakushi versus Brett. and then you can watch and then you watch a couple of Mid-Souths. That's a pretty full week of wrestling without Raw. And you're still a huge fucking wrestling fan.
Exactly. Right in the background.
No involved. Yeah.
Crazy stuff. A couple other really quick notes. I believe it was just posted that Rey Mysterio decides to go ahead and try to work with Lucha Underground over going back to the WWE. Now, I don't know how serious the having Rey Mysterio come back to WWE would be, because he's at this point in his career, he's been out of the WWE for several years now. And although he is a proven commodity in terms of merchandise sales, being a babyface, especially speaking to the Latino market, you know, I mean, where would he be? Because his body just can't hold up to the rigors of the road anymore.
Well, his knees had gotten better with all that time off while he was still under contract, because, you know, Vince kept him under contract, even though he wasn't working, to keep him away from Lucha Underground. But he showed up at AAA with a crutch. Boy, 2015 for AAA, got to be the worst year ever. Just got to say that.
Yeah. Great years for New Japan. Great years for NXT. Very bad year for AAA.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you basically everybody. We should talk about CMLL's loss of La Sombra.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
To Triple H, and that ties in because I think La Sombra is kind of like Rey's replacement. La Sombra jobbed to an almost 50-year-old Atlantis in a mask match. This is way back in August, and it was pretty shocking. It's like, how can you not put La Sombra over? Well, I'm pretty sure he had figured out a contract by then, and he is an honorable man, unlike perhaps the contract dealings of Mysticis, Mystico, Sankara, Callistico, whatever. A guy, and you know, he let them know, don't put me over in this match. So this has been in the works since the summer. They're bringing in La Sombra. He probably needs to do English promos pretty good. He could be the big Latin baby face. You know, their Latin demographic took a dive, and that hurt ratings a lot with Mysterio. And Mysterio is older. I don't really know what he can do. He looked fine in this Mysticis main event and that god awful Triple A pay-per-view, sorry. And with the Psycho Clown match and all that garbage audio. But I don't exactly know what happened. I just know he's on a crush and he couldn't do the main event for Triple A. But he will be at Lucha Underground filming something. And you know, that was always the big coup to get Mysterio, but you know, AAA and Lucha Underground are very closely tied in. Now, Lucha Underground, you got to sign a 7-year contract, which is pretty interesting. But I don't know if they have him that wrapped up. Will he make a big difference? Probably not. I mean, Lucha Underground, the show itself is just awesome. It's just the way they put it together, and it's going to be more mystical even than last year, which I don't understand how that's possible. But I'm looking forward to seeing it. I mean, it's definitely a great alternative to TNA or Raw, you know, that's for certain. You know, I think Mysterio's a good ad. You know, he definitely fits right into their – he's kind of like the ultimate baby face for them to get, if you think about it.
Well, you know, you try to get people over like Callisto but you bring him over with new Sin Cara 2, whatever the case is, with Lucha Dragons, and he just, at this point, it's still too new to make him a breakout star unless he has some really great single matches, which, you know, he had highlights and opportunity, but what's really funny is they are so steadfast in sticking true with some of what they decide to book, but yet when they try to put something out there, they do it kind of half-assed as a test. They don't really stay behind it 100% and see if it catches fire, which is strange to me that they'll hold so tight to several different things that they consider top ranked feuds or top ranked programs. And yet when they put the mid card under to try to put people on top, that they do it in a very half-assed kind of way, which is very strange. But anyway,
that's their biggest problem. The half-assing of situations, start, stop, start, stop. That's what killed Nitro. That's what happened. It's like the same thing would happen to Nitro Thunder is happening to Raw. SmackDown, 5 hours is too much to digest, right? Ratings are going down, and then you don't listen to the audience anymore. Mm-hmm. Don't give them what they want. They're doing it exactly like it happened.
Really quick, couple of really quick notes. I mentioned this. Lucha Underground ditches Melina for being difficult. Maybe.
I've heard that about her for years. And no offense to her, I don't know her.
We don't know Melina. I think she just wanted to get on with Johnny Mundo, her on and off again boyfriend. Who knows what the truth is? Who knows what the truth is? But it probably lies somewhere in the middle. We don't know.
I saw the picture that she tweeted, though. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. I'm not going to talk about it, though.
That's unfortunate.
I'm not going to talk about it.
Unfortunate situation for all involved.
Really quickly, let's talk about our picks for WWE's TLC pay-per-view that happened Sunday. Following immediately afterwards, we will have a pre-recorded Stone Cold podcast or Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast featuring Shawn Michaels, which looks really good. It looks like they caught Shawn Michaels off guard with some of the questions, and I look forward to hearing the answers. So here we are. Charlotte versus Paige. Who goes over?
Who cares? I guess you put Charlotte over if you want to get over as a heel, and Ric Flair trips Paige.
Okay, that works.
Ric Flair will be there, I know. So if you get him heavily involved in the match, it could actually be pretty good because he is a great worker no matter what his physical condition. Yes. So let's say Charlotte goes over as a heel of Paige Flair interference. That sounds about right.
That works for me. Chairs match, Del Rio versus Swagger.
Del Rio clean.
Del Rio will win clean.
Del Rio wins. You go ahead.
I think it's going to be a schmoz.
Ugh, I don't want to see that more than once.
I don't want to see it either, but I think
I would cheer. I would cheer Zeb Coulter, who would blade. I know they wouldn't do that. And then cheer Swagger into oblivion and try to repair what's happened to Del Rio. What will happen on the show? Probably something stupid and illogical.
Yes. Here we are. We've got the Wyatts versus the ECW Originals in this particular match. I think ECW is going to take a bunch of huge bumps, and the Wyatts are going to go over clean.
If they don't put the Wyatts over clean, I don't know what the fuck to say. I don't even know what to say if that doesn't happen. I don't know what to. I mean, that's why they hired Tommy Dreamer, right? To job to the Wyatts, right?
Oh, exactly right. He's going to, you know, at very least, you know, Rhino still works part-time for NXT on occasion. So I would think that Tommy Dreamer is going to take some hellacious bump off a 20-foot ladder into oblivion through a table.
Rhino's been looking good on NXT.
Rhino's in great shape, man. Rhino still looks like Rhino from 15 years ago. He's
able to pull out some decent matches out of Baron Corbin, who's very lacking in ability in a lot of ways, but he was able to get some good matches out of him.
I agree with that totally. Let us look at, where are we now? Intercontinental title match on the line, the internet champion darling Kevin Owens versus what may be the brawler of the year, Dean Ambrose.
I don't think I wouldn't.
Yeah. I hope, you know, I talked about a schmoz. There might be another one here because you want to try to keep two of them strong. Unless
this would be the one to do it. you know, they could have one of the best matches of the year if they were allowed to, if they were given the amount of time, if their hands weren't tied with the booking. But who knows? I don't know what to think with them anymore. Ambrose probably deserves a title. I don't want to see Owens lose momentum. This is the only feud that interests me they have currently going at all. So I don't know.
And they had to delay it because Kevin Owens was sick with his son on tour for like 2 weeks. Craziness.
Very weird. Very weird.
Triple threat ladder match for the tag team titles. New Day defending against two teams. We have Lucha Dragons and the Usos. And why mess with a good thing? You know, looks like I call the New Day is going to win by some kind of hook, crook, shenanigan or something.
Yeah, they did a couple of jobs to them on screwy ways. So, yeah, it looks like they're going over. But again, they're baby faces, whether they know it or not. So if you expect the Usos, who are pretty decently over baby faces for the tag team division, especially these last 10 or 15 years of tag team wrestling, if you think they're going to go over them heat wise, that just won't happen. And it should be a good match if their hands aren't tied by time limits or booking. I'll say the exact same thing.
Well, I think the Lucha Dragons are lying down for somebody.
They're lying down a lot.
They lie down.
They lie gave down. Callisto that one win over Ryback, and they're like, you owe us the world now, Callisto.
Exactly. Which, by the way, it's horrible what they're doing to Ryback. Just, you know, I don't know what they're doing with R-Truth. I don't know what they're doing with Stardust or Titus O'Neil either.
It's
all strange, weird stuff. Tyler Breeze and Dean Ambrose will probably have a curtain jerker match, and it's, you know, we'll see what happens there. I'm sure they're probably going to job out Dolph Ziggler again. But here's the
Breeze. They've had him job a couple of times. I mean, you just don't introduce somebody and have them start jobbing. That just doesn't make any sense.
Nope. Last but not least, we've got the World Heavyweight Title, WWE Title, Reigns versus Sheamus. Do you think that Roman Reigns will score victory in under 5 minutes and 15 seconds? Because Sheamus 5:15 says, "I just kicked your arse."
If you want to repair the booking, you could do that. But I mean, this pay-per-view looks terrible on paper to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have hardly anything super. They haven't promoted. I mean, they did an okay job. But it's their lack of people in the roster, and I don't know, man.
No one cares.
No one cares about that match, and I think most people think that Reigns won't win.
Well, I like Roman Reigns. I think that they need to unchain him a little bit, but I think he's doing everything that they want him to do, and it's a shame that you have such piss poor stuff to give him.
I'll pick exactly what I think they'll do in the ending, because I know them. They'll have Reigns win the match visually, but the ref won't see it, and then either Triple H or the League of Gentlemen or someone will come out and put Reigns through a table. He's screwed again and crying on the ground, and Sheamus holds up the belt while Reigns is crying as a baby face. That's most likely what they'll do.
It would be nice of them to actually leave a pay-per-view with Roman Reigns huffing and puffing and being more of a man than being a little wimp crying over spilled milk.
It's okay for the baby face to like win at every pay-per-view. They used to do it with Steve Austin. They used to do it with Hulk Hogan. They used to do it with Dusty. It works. It's okay to do that. It's okay to be predictable. You're trying to get him over as a baby face. You refuse to turn him heel, which seems like the only way to get him over like you want. If you refuse to do all that, then he has to win at every show. He's not Daniel Bryan. He's not Ric Flair. He's Roman Reigns. You have to push him like he was in the Shield. That's when he was over. I've given up on them. They are totally stupid. I don't. WrestleMania, Aljon, was so good, so well booked because they were going in a bad direction in so many ways. They repaired it all in one night and they threw it all away again. I just don't know what can save them. If they keep this up, they will eventually be in a situation where we're going to have to wonder.
Well, we are in the dregs of the holiday season, typically the lowest time for any TV viewership. And also a low point in WWE fans is they typically have transitional champions because people are looking to building what will be the Royal Rumble. So this is no surprise. I think a lot of wrestling fans and hardcore fans that follow the product know that this is a soft time for the company, because in the next week, after next week, SmackDown moves. We're going to have holiday shows that don't mean anything. Stupid gimmick matches. Santa Claus will be coming down to the ring.
Right.
Getting a lot of, a lot of good cheers. But, the tribute to the troop show is going to be on, which doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. So they're all feel good moments. I think we're going to be leaving 2015 just on a bad note. And unfortunately, we're going to be in limbo until Royal Rumble. And that's the sad fact of affairs for WWE fans everywhere. So,
yeah. And bearing that in mind, there's no reason to change the belt if that's their thing.
There is no reason. There is no reason. You know, we still have other things that are still dangling, like participles. We still have, you know, where and when is Chris Jericho going to return? We still have the looming return of John Cena, among other things. So watch NXT. Lesnar. Yeah, watch NXT.
They'll start that all in January, and they'll go, look, the ratings are shooting up. Well, of course they are. They were so low.
Really quick, I was also going to mention this before we go into a really quick promo clip of the week. next, we will try to do a show post TLC, but we'll also talk about this year in wrestling with our Pro Wrestling Cast Awards. You know, everybody has award shows, and right. We want to be like everybody else, because we, like WWE Creative, are void of creativity. so we're going to just copy and paste other people's stuff. But we do have, we would like to banter this with you, our listeners and our viewers. Who is your tops in this category for 2015? Wrestler of the Year, Most Valuable Player, Rivalry of the Year, Tag Team of the Year, Most Improved, Best Promo / Charisma Interview, Best Technical Wrestler, Best Brawler, Best High Flyer, Promotion of the Year, Television Show of the Year, Match of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Best Non-Wrestler, Best TV Announcer, Best Gimmick, Best Babyface, and Best Heel. So those, and you know what? I should probably say Best Women's Wrestler too, for heaven's sake, Al John.
Sure, we can do that.
Best, write this down because I forgot.
What?
Women's.
Making notes.
Wrestler. Yeah, because if not, I'm going to forget.
Well, most of the answers for me will be Roppongi Vice.
Okay, well, of course it will be Roppongi Vice. Because you're down with Roppongi Vice.
Well, I'm very supportive of Roppongi Vice.
That's good. I'd like to have him on the show sometime. Call Romero right now. Get his people to talk to our people. We'll have lunch. So let's button up this show. Those are a lot of great things. I look forward to talking with you, Stephen, because you and I are actually going to discuss this and find out what our definitive list for the best of 2015 will be. We'll have a meeting of the minds, as it were. Let's go ahead and launch into our promo of the week. You know, it's been a while since we had a really funny ass promo on here, but no one says funny promo like Sid Vicious. And Sid Vicious.
This is a good promo. I mean, people have watched it for years after it happened, so it's technically very good.
It is very good. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and pipe in, which is the infamous promo from Sid Vicious.
Good pick.
Promo of the week.
The offense, but there are a lot of skeptics that think that perhaps you can't take it. How do you address those skeptics?
Well, all the skeptics and all the people that have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, pal.
Sorry. Anybody has any doubts, we'll get their answer tonight.
Well, there you hear it. A man, a few words, psycho said, back to you, Todd.
I mean, what the hell, man? You know, Sid's very polite. He apologizes. He knew he was cutting a bad promo. He wanted to do a do-over, and he jumped right back into character, actually. So, I mean, in a weird way, it's you kind of see how professional Sid tries to be.
I know, in a weird way.
And how mean Jim Ross is. We're live, pal. Like, you fucked this all up already.
Yeah.
Hold on. Well, I'll tell you.
That is happy holidays for you. That's our little gift to you. Sid Vicious delivering presents early for this holiday season.
Anything on Raw, too.
Yeah, that's right. Better than anything on Raw, just like Stephen Anthony, Dr. Deathmark, the man with the glove of injustice. Where can people find you, Stephen?
at Dr. Death Mark on Twitter. And you can watch me retweet Midnight Express and New Japan, All Japan clips.
And you can also check out his brand new CD, Steven. People can buy that through our Amazon link, correct?
Yeah, if you want to.
You won't even tell people what your act is? Come on.
Nope, I don't think so. I'm you know
they get promoted in the last couple of weeks. What happened, man? You not
no, there gets yourself. To be a certain point in your career where you realize, you know, like the crest of my wave in Nashville was obviously 2008. You know that.
Yeah.
the wave has fallen. But it happens to everybody. But you know what? I'm a better guitar player than Denny Smith.
Wow. Okay. Life Through Noise. Go ahead and pick up the CD through right now.
Let's yeah. Why not? My Life Through Noise, Spotify, iTunes. Go for it.
Do it. Of course, you can find me at Al John Rocks as well as Pro Wrestling or ProWrestlingCast.com, P Wrestling Cast. All kinds of stuff. Like I said, plug our website, get all the great stuff. Also, shop our affiliates, Amazon, WWE Shop, WWE Network.
Get the new Great Spots. Affairs album.
Dream the new Great Affairs, yeah. Your brother on that? Denny Smith is on. No, I don't think so. I don't think my brother's playing bass on that. But
are you sure? You would know that, though, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I'll ask him.
Okay. I'll Dream and Stereo, The Great Affairs.
Yeah, yeah. Check
that's
out.
That's what you buy. Don't worry about
friend,
my album.
Check out our friend Denny Smith. You know.
Don't worry about my album that I put my heart and soul in for a year. But the best lyrics I've ever
you can written. Buy Full Rock Power on Spotify as well as wow. iTunes from 2003, non Pro Tools record.
Yeah, and get my album Low High. Don't buy that album. Actually, no,
I have that record. I have that
I'm
record.
Sorry somewhere. To hear that. Get Klonopin. Klonopin Appetite for Prescription back from 1998.
Wow,
I might have a CD copy here or there.
Also, music reviews. Did you realize we're going to be doing music reviews at the end of this episode? Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time for the post TLC show. Have a good one, and don't forget to tuck your head. Adios, muchachos.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are currently holding for further traffic clearance.
Check out Kristen's new website, magicaljourneysvacations.com, for all your vacation needs. Disney, Universal, cruise lines, and more.
Thank you for traveling with us.
magicaljourneysvacations.com.
Have her book your magical vacation today.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the geek revolution. Want to know more?